Oh, he's going to eliminate the working class because he's going to hire ghosts instead. Astral pig. Oh my goodness, giant astral pig. You're so cute. Yes, you are. Yes, you're a cute pig. Hello, friends. Welcome to Turtle Power Presents the Power Playthroughs podcast with Turtle Power. I'm your host, Turtle Power, and this is the podcast where we play games in a powerful way. We're playing Ebenezer and the Invisible World, I want to say. This is a Metroidvania based on Ebenezer Scrooge. We got a quote to start off the game. The air was filled with phantoms, wandering hither and thither in restless haste and moaning as they went. Every one of them wore chains like Marley's ghost. The misery with them all was clearly that they sought to interfere for good in human manners and had lost the power forever. I've seen this one a little bit. I grew a little less excited in it because I heard that the Switch version had some performance issues. I know the team was aware of it and working on those. I don't know if they've been resolved yet as I'm playing it today. It's been out for a couple days now, but they just sent a code over for me, so I figured I would give it a shot. A ghost has appeared, a ghost in like a military uniform of some sort, who says, "Something has gone horribly wrong. Jacob Marley allowed you to, I didn't get a chance to click it. What sort of help could a spirit possibly need from me? Are you familiar with the Malthus family? Somewhat rich, industrious, they keep to themselves for the most part." This text is, like, weirdly fast. "Unfortunately, there's more to them than that." Uh-oh. "On with it, spirit. I haven't got all day. Tell me your story." "And so I shall. Let me tell you the story of Caspar Malthus and the Malthus family dream." And the text is gone already. Very fast text. Weird. "The Malthus family have always resided in the shadows of London High Society, a truly heartless lineage who view the downtrodden of London as a cancer that spread until a means of excising it could be found. While such cruel machinations have always existed, with the rise of modern industry, some members of the Malthus family felt a new age was soon dawning where the solution could present itself. Driving this new rhetoric was Gaius Malthus. He seized upon the city's industrial expansion and turned their family from mere aristocracy into an empire of industry. His factory swelled with the poor working people of London." And we're looking at a portrait of him looking extremely sinister. "He offered these workers horrid conditions and little pay in exchange for their backbreaking labor. All the while, he planned for a day when he could rid the world of the lot of them. However, cruelty is a flame that burns one's candle twice as fast. Gaius died suddenly, and I dare say we are all of us the better for it." This guy, he wasn't just a capitalist, he's a capitalist who wanted to kill people. "With the death of Malthus' family, patriarch, command of their empire fell to Caspar Malthus, his only surviving son. Caspar was a dear friend from my mortal youth, who I remembered as a happy and joyous boy who loved the world around him. I hoped he would choose to take the Malthus family in a new direction. Unfortunately, I was wrong. Working conditions worsened, and the cruelty of the Malthus family continued." See a crowd of workers. And the fire goes across the picture like they were a picture. "However, I refuse to believe Caspar had gone so far down this path that he could not be redeemed. It was 1 year ago tonight, Christmas Eve, that I paid Caspar a visit. I appeared before Caspar, much like Jacob Marley appeared before you, and warned him that the heavy chains forged from his own cruelty would condemn his spirit forever. To avoid his fate, he would need to set himself on a path to redemption. It should come as no surprise to you, Ebenezer, that Caspar was also visited by three Christmas spirits that night. Each in turn showed him the memories of his past, scenes from his present, and events from his potential future, all with the purpose to put him on a better path. We see a spirit in the background, but of all the images that Caspar was shown that night, it was the ghost of Christmas yet to come that had the most profound effect. He's creepy. He's like blue and purple energy with a black cloak swirling around him. Caspar was shown a decrepit old man locked in his study and resting on the mountainous detritus of failed designs and concepts. Refuse littered the floor, creating an extraordinarily unpleasant smell about the place." Gross. Casper could feel the vast emptiness within the massive halls of the old man's home and knew he had been alone for a long time. Whoever he once was, he now only existed as the architect of some obsessive project. Ah! He looked at the camera. It was then that Casper began to recognize the room, the portraits and books on the wall, and the familial features of the old man's haggard face. He was gazing at a visage of his future self. But the ghost of Christmas yet to come hadn't brought Casper here to simply gaze upon the man he would become, but to witness the man's ultimate triumph. He invented a little glowy ball with electricity inside it. Casper had achieved the Malthus family dream. Whether it was a power source, engine, or some infernal mechanism, I cannot say, but I do know it was the catalyst that would sever the workers from society. In the midst of the old man's jubilation, the ghost of Christmas yet to come raised his finger and pointed at this frail future visage, not wanting Casper to miss a moment of what came next. The old man's cries of exultation would be his last. The moment of excitement after decades of despair and neglect were too much for his worn heart. Casper watched his future self begin to die before his eyes. That was metal. Casper's eyes soon withdrew from the old man. He watched instead the device, the culmination of his life's work, his family's dream, fall from the wretched hand and shatter on the floor. At that moment, Casper and his future self both saw that everything that had spent their life pursuing, every sacrifice, a cruel and heartless act, would all amount to nothing. They would die alone, unloved, and forgotten. It was a long intro. With that, Casper was returned to his own time, in a state that I perceived to mean he had just been profoundly changed by the ordeal. I left him then so that he could contemplate what he had witnessed. The button to skip this is A, which is under my camera if you're watching the video version, so you can't see that the button overlaps with the text. I felt confident that he would see the lonely path he was on and something, take another, make changes. However, what I did not foresee was that there would be another visitor that night, one who did not want to change Malthus's path, but to set it in stone. It's like a scary ghost. A dark spirit emerged from the shadows and confronted Casper, laughing at the silly images the Christmas spirits had shown him. So it says the word skip next to the button, and it overlaps the text. It's white on white. It's bad. Casper pled to the horrifying truth that he did not want to meet the same fate that he witnessed that night. The dark spirit smiled and reminded him he had only seen a possible future, one that need not transpire. So I don't know if that's one of the issues that was going to be fixed, but it's not fixed. He told Casper that the Christmas spirits had carelessly presented a new opportunity for the Malthus family. Casper had been allowed to observe the workings of the old man's future device. With this knowledge, he could recreate it in the present. He was told he could help create the world that his family had always wanted. He need only be strong enough to put aside silly morality plays and take appropriate actions. With that, Casper turned his back on a better path. A year hence, and he has almost finished using this unnaturally gained knowledge to bring himself to the precipice of his family's ultimate dream to crush the poor workers of the city under the gears of industrial progress. I'm pretty sure the old evil spirit was him from the future. Yet despite all this, I remember my old boyhood friend Casper, and I bring myself to believe that he's beyond the hope of redemption. Now you know my story. I need a mortal to help my old friend to find redemption before he is beyond salvation. The Christmas spirits will not come to my aid a second time. It is up to you to find the pieces of Casper's past, present, and future and convince him to choose a better path. So now Scrooge has to be the spirit of Christmas. All right. If there's a pathway to redemption for Casper, it will weave through the people in his life that meant most to him and knew him well. Nebuchadnezzar says, "That is all well and good, but even if you knew Casper Malthus once as a good man, that was some time ago. How can you be sure that such a person still exists? I confess, I am not well informed on the metamorphosis that transpired within him. It is imperative that we unravel how he became the man he is today." Casper kept a journal in the London Observatory, secreted away from the prying eyes of his father. If that journal is still there, it may help us understand how he drifted so far from how I remember him. "Gallivanting about as a spirit's lackey was not how I intended to spend my holidays. But I suppose in all fairness, I too once was a man that had lost his way. It took the esteemed presence of my dear friend Jacob Marley to set me straight. Very well, spirit, I will find Casper's journal. Thank you, Ebenezer. You must exercise the utmost caution tonight. Casper has already put into motion his plan to displace the workers of London." Excuse me. Yeah. "Workers are protesting, and soon there will be a standoff between the protesters and the Malthus private guard. The guard has been deployed to patrol the streets, no doubt eager to showcase their mettle to anyone sympathetic towards the plight of the workers. So amidst this cacophony of mounting chaos, you expect me to venture into a whirlwind of further disorder and confusion? I must say, spirit, your timing couldn't be more inconvenient." All right. And we're off. And we're off. And we have to use the analog stick. We can't use the D-pad. So Scrooge has a wicked punch. Like, this is hand-drawn animation, 2D Metroidvania style. But his punch, he just swings his arm like he's doing, like, a hook. But it's, like, a big beam of a punch. An old Pemberley Gazette with the headline, Industrialist Casper Malthus promises the dawn of a new age for London. That's an old one? Huh. Why would that be an old Gazette and not today's Gazette? All right. We're in a mansion.
Be careful outside, sir. There have been protests recently here in London, and they've become quite dangerous.
All right. Oh, cool. So B is jump, Y is attack, X does nothing, A does a backwards dodge, and my shoulders and trigger do nothing, and my D-pad does nothing. Okay. Oh, something's appearing from the snow. Fizzlewig, how pleasant to see the bright face of my former employer.
Hello, Ebenezer. You've made much of yourself since you worked for my company. I'm here to provide assistance as you advance in your quest.
Thank you, I am grateful. There's never been a limit to your generosity.
What's mine is Tarek says your map. London's a big city with many places to explore, and the map is essential to making your way through the city.
Alright, we got a map.
We got a map.
Alright, analog stick, not D-pad. I just really like using D-pad for Metroidvania games, you know? Especially I'm using the 8-bit though controller right now. Oh, D-pad feels so good. I wonder, actually. Can we change that? No. So in our options, we've got English for our language. We've got volume. There's general music and sound. And then under controls, I can choose vibration on and off. Now, I don't want to be picky here. But that's not controls. That's controller, but not controls. We're running through old London town, and it's all Christmassy and merry. I really like the art style on this. Everything looks really nice. Snow falling around. Bedlam Asylum is to the left here. Looks like we'll need a wall jump or a double jump or some such thing to get up that way, so I'll go back to the right instead. Okay. There is definitely something framey happening with how the background is scrolling. Like, it's not smooth. It's a little bit of like just a little bit. In fact, looking over at my OBS screen, yeah, okay, you can see it a little bit there. I was going to say, I think my OBS is recording at, no, it should be at 60 frames. I was going to say, maybe my OBS might not actually be capturing the jitteriness of the background. Kind of reminds me of the same jitteriness, or a similar jitteriness that we saw in River City Girls 2 had kind of the same thing, where, like, you could tell that something wasn't working quite right, but it was, like, hard to define exactly. But yeah, there's definitely a little bit of awkwardness in how things are panning across. We've arrived at a union demonstration, and the ghost of Eric appeared again.
Ebenezer, that protester just ahead, excuse me, that protester just ahead is in peril and requires aid. Can you intercede on my behalf?
Heck yeah, I can get into a fight on your behalf. Oh, This Union Buster is, like, a giant dude. He's, like, 8 feet tall, and he's wearing, like, some kind of face mask and body armor, and it has a giant bat. And this protester's name is Leslie, who says, "Please, don't. I surrender."
"You there, cease your unwarranted assault on that man this instant. Yes, yes, he may have committed his fair share of transgressions, but he has clearly surrendered himself, hasn't he?" "You and your friends are not but the surplus population. Accept your fate, you pitiable swine!"
And he just crushed that dude with his big bat.
"You're next, old codger."
Hey, Ebenezer. You could have jumped into the fight before he squished that dude, huh? Dodge enemy attacks using backstep. Okay. So my first fight... Oh! I was going to say, my first fight, you're expecting me to backstep? I definitely got hit. Oh, hey, Leslie, jump back up. He's okay. I didn't see that one of the other goons said something, I don't know what.
"Thank you, kind sir. Let me help you home.
No, I'll be fine. You need to find a safe haven, for one, Gastrill is a merciless fellow, and you're in grave peril in his presence. He's not just neutralizing protesters. With the Malphus private guard, he's hunting anyone involved in the protests. Now they'll come for you, too.
I'm well aware of the pressing need for self-preservation today. Thank you very much.
And then Eric appears again. And says,
Eric, why oh why? Oh, sorry. Scrooge says to Eric, Eric, why oh why were you utterly useless in extending aid to that man? Are you content with being a mere spectator, an impotent bystander in the face of distress?
I had the wish to aid that man, but my curse in the afterlife is that I cannot. You, Ebenezer, have been visited by the Christmas spirits and can see me in other ghosts. I can help those in need through you, and I can help you. For granting assistance to that man on my behalf, I shall be able to help you further.
Okay. Eric Fellows has joined you. Select attack, select, faded away on its own. Your tutorial screen fades away on its own. There's a spirit bar. That's what I use for ghost magic. Apparently I'm hitting, it says regain energy by hitting people with a cane, but I didn't know I was attacking with a cane. Let's go to the ghost section. Eric Fellows. Press X, no, equip and press X to use Navy Man power. Okay. Ooh. He appears and does like a big uppercut attack with a sword. And I can use the D-pad to change which ghost I have equipped, it looks like. Okay. I just jumped and hit an invisible wall because it was the edge of the loading screen. This game's really, really pretty, and I'm sure there's a lot of good in it, but oh boy. This is early on to be seeing just a lot of little things. A lot of little things. Nothing broken so far. Just a lot of little things. All right. Let's move on here. Oh, I got a turkey. I can press up and down to change my item, it looks like, and left and right to change my ghost. All right. That's at least a reason not to have D-pad control. There's a ghost throwing tomatoes at me. Stop it. Stop it, ghost lady. So, I fought a mob boss, and now there's ghost ladies throwing tomatoes at me. Alright, cool. Hey, Fezziwig appears again.
Forgive my intrusion.
You do not need to apologize, Fezziwig. You are a great help.
If you continue right, you'll find a save room. A save room is where you can save progress and replenish your health and spirit. Look for the sign with the feather pen. Every save room has that sign nearby.
Thank you, Fezziwig.
Alright, I see the sign. Save room. Let's go save. The save is just a cool door, and when you use it, a door knocker appears. That's a guy's face with the door knocker in his mouth and weird glasses perched on his head. Don't know why that is. We're just gonna leave that alone. I want to check my map again real quick. Okay, cool. So the map does show you exits that you haven't taken. Unexplored path. It actually marks them in a different color to make them real easy to spot. I like that. Okay, let's go fight some ghosts. Oh, I need a double jump to get up to that spot. Okay. We're gonna go over here. Okay, so I can see there is a cane. On his regular attack. Oh, okay. So on a regular attack, I can see it behind him. I don't see it in the actual swing animation, but I see him behind him post-swing. But then you can definitely see it as he does a combo. You just can't combo unless you're hitting an enemy. However, he's not holding a cane, just Ebenezer's default sprite. Like, he's just a guy. He's got a red scarf that goes behind him. Did Tian Ding have a red scarf? I think it's something else. He's got red gloves. He does not have a cane. Okay, what? Okay. I was trying to use my cool Navyman magic power to kill that ghost lady, but the hitbox for the Navyman's attack is odd. It's his sword, I think. I think it is accurately drawn to his sword, but he appears, like, in front of you, and so trying to aim how far out his sword's gonna be? A little weird.
Here is Gaetano Lograsso. You there, Ebenezer. I see that you've stopped to notice my lamp flames.
You put on quite a show.
Where did that voice come from?
You put on quite a show with your flames. How do you know my name, ghost?
Ah, there's much I know about the people of London, much that some may prefer I not know.
I remember you now. You were quite the town whisperer. Quite proud of your gossip.
That was then, and this is now. I lit the flames to catch your attention. I need your assistance. I don't know what my voice is doing. I'm sorry. A prominent journalist, Salvatore Garcia, has ran a story about the accident in the Malthus factory, the one they say Declan Doyle is responsible. I fear with the unrest on the streets tonight, he could be hurt or injured if he takes his normal route. I know a safer path. My request, Ebenezer, is to ensure that the street lamps can be seen along the route so that Garcia may reach his destination unharmed. Many are covered with snow. Can you make sure that the snow is removed and the lamps shine bright? Very well, I will do that to ensure his way is lit. Okay. Lamplighter's quest has been updated. Pause to see the details. Yeah, framey. That's the one that's bugging me the most right now, is there's just a little bit of framiness that, like, is visually irritating. It catches your eye in a weird way. Aha! I just cleared a lamp, snow off a lamp, and then the lamplighter appeared and lit it. Cool. Oh, here's another ghost. It's a little boy. Buster Bailey.
You, I know you. You're Ebenezer Scrooge. You're that rich, miserly old man that yells at children for laughing too loud. You made my friend cry.
Yes, young man, I regret to say this is so. London has been generous with the laughter of children, and I found it quite a bother at the time. I would like to make amends. Is your friend nearby? I would like to apologize.
Phoebe's in trouble. She snuck into a building to the right looking for food without realizing it was occupied by Malthus guards. Now she's trapped and scared. Can you help her, sir? This nice lady here, Marianne, has been taking care of Phoebe and can take her to safety if you can find a way for Phoebe to exit the building.
Of course I will help. I will find Phoebe and help her to safety.
I don't know why Ebenezer's immediate response to... you made my friend cry when a ghost told him that was, oh man, is she around so I can apologize? How'd you know she's not dead, Scrooge? Why would you assume that? Interesting. Here we go. Another lamp to light. I wonder, there's no marker on the map for those lamps. Is that going to be something that becomes very annoying to keep track of? Okay. Oh, there's the little girl. She's on the other side of this door. So I guess we gotta climb over the building. Ah, okay, yeah. We went up some... what's the word? Platforms. Platforms is the word I was looking for. We went up some platforms. There's one of those big bruiser guys in here, so we're gonna hit him, and then... Oh, we didn't dive away fast enough. What if we... Aha! We used our Navyman powers to knock him out. Okay. Oh, man. Here's another brute. This one's got a shield and a big hammer thing. Okay. Whew, eat him. Almost died. All right. What's the little girl say?
Achoo! Oh, no. I hope the Malthus guards didn't hear me sneeze.
Is your name Phoebe? Do you know a boy named Buster? Who's a ghost? A dead boy? Are you friends with a dead boy?
Oh, dear Buster. He was my best friend. My mother said Buster and I were to be married when we were of age.
Worry not, dear child. He's dead. You're no longer in an arranged marriage. I will help you get out.
And then Buster appears floating in the air.
Marianne is close by and she could take Phoebe to safety. There's a lever just above your head that'll open this door. I can help you get up there so you can activate it.
Buster Bailey has joined you. Press attack and down to use his power. Again, I don't know what it said after that because... Okay, he makes balloons appear. So I can now do a down attack, and also I can bounce off balloons. There's little glowing spaces in the world where ghost balloons appear. Why do you have your boxes explaining characters auto-advance? That's not a good idea. I open the lever. Marianne comes up. Phoebe, are you okay? This house is dangerous. I must get you to safety.
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm so happy to see you, Marianne. Please, let's leave. I'm so scared.
And they go running off. We've completed a main quest step. And Buster appears to me again.
Thank you for finding Phoebe. She was my best friend in life. With your help and Marianne, Phoebe's safe. I'll join you on your quest, Ebenezer.
You don't even know what my quest is, kiddo. Use Buster Bailey's ghost power to continue to the London Observatory. Okay. I don't get a marker on the map of like where I'm going next. Also, the map pans kind of slowly. Wish that was a little faster. It's going to be annoying when I have a big map to explore. Ah, there's balloons have appeared. Now, okay. Okay, I died. I tried to use Buster's ability on some enemies, but I forgot that I have to press down and attack to use his ability, not just down. Because you bounce off the balloons automatically. So I was holding down when I hit the balloons because that's the direction I was going. But that doesn't work for the attack. The good news is, unlike Castlevania, this game's save rooms aren't just save rooms. They are checkpoints. Because I went back to that save room, and guess what? I still have Buster Bailey helping me out. So I did not lose progress when I died. Been playing, just played, actually just finished today, Aria of Sorrow, and the death in that game, it can be brutal. I think I'm probably gonna wrap up soon. We'll see if we maybe find one more like save room. That'll be a good stopping place. But what I can see of this game is it seems like it's got, it has your very unique animation style, which is very cool. I found a treasure chest. I bounced up some of Buster's balloons and found a treasure chest with some money inside. And it opened up a new pathway that I can go up. And there's enemies up here. There's wow. Same guy who killed me last time, who has a the thing you use to blow in a fireplace bellows. Is that what those are called? He has a bellows that he pumps poison gas out of, which is a pretty cool enemy design. And then there was a ghost of a guy who threw fireballs at me. Now there's a ghost of a tightrope walker. I do wonder, if I were Scrooge and I was sent out on this journey to stop a guy from using some sort of technology to eliminate the working class, and as soon as I set out on that adventure, I was met in combat not just by his personal security guard, but by ghosts, I would have questions about the ghosts. Why are there ghosts? Does this just what Scrooge has dealt with every day since his adventure, since he was visited by the ghosts? Is that why he's so good at slapping things with his cane? Is because he's just battling the undead of London every time he walks out of his home? Or are these ghosts newly appeared and helping out Mr. Malthus? Which is my suspicion, that his working class thing, oh, he's going to eliminate the working class because he's going to hire ghosts instead. Astral pig. Oh my goodness, giant astral pig, you're so cute. Yes, you are. Yes, you're a cute pig.
Welcome to Jasper's Wandering Bazaar and Food Court. I'm Jasper, from Emporium of Curiosities. Feast your eyes on delectable foods and rare items from all over the world.
Jasper, tell me about your pig.
You can find foods on one page and rare items on another. Make sure to stock up before continuing on your journey.
He's got berries and mashed potatoes and turkey and plum pudding. And he's also got Aaron's glove. Enemies have a 10% chance to drop health items. A deer's cloth adds 15% chance to critically strike when using an attack ghost. So there's a whole bunch of stuff we can choose from here. But we are broke, so we cannot afford any of it. We could afford some food. Probably not a bad idea. Confirmed by yes. Bought some turkey. Buying some mashed potatoes. And we're going to call that good. Jasper, you really have nothing to say about your pig, and there's no, you can't, you, hey, listen, the biggest problem I have with Ebenezer and the Invisible World is that there's not an option to pet the giant astral pig. That's not okay. You're gonna put a big astral pig in your game? Let me pet it. Just let me pet him. No, we'll still find a save room. I don't want to end on being disappointed about the pig. Well, that's right. I'm not even going where I'm supposed to be because I found like a different route. Oh, okay, cool. Well, we're just checking this out. We'll see what's up here. We'll either get to another save room or we'll die. Here's a sign for a bell. What's a bell room going to be? Is this a fast travel point? That would be cool. It is.
Sorry, you need to find another station before entering this train.
Thanks, ghostly conductorman.
cool. I get to take a ghost train.
All right. Jumping on a balloon. How? There's a person up here. What are you doing just hanging out up here on like the 18th floor up?
I arrived much too early to meet a friend. My pocket watch does not keep good time.
All right.
Whoa.
I missed the lantern ghost up here. Ow. There's a very big hit stop when you get hit. Like, this game wants you to know that you got hit and it hurt, even if it wasn't that bad of a hit. It communicates that it was a pretty bad hit. There was another route back there. Okay, that's fine. Seeing what's up here. This is the ghost of a postman, I guess. He's got a big bag on his back. Get the ghost of the tomato throwing lady, who's very tall. Like, I really like the designs of the enemies. They're very cool. I just don't know why they're fighting me. Okay, going up some balloons and knocking over some snowmen. Oh, I got by a goon with a bat. I used my navyman to attack him, and while I was attacking him, he attacked me, and I died. Ebenezer in the Invisible World. I'm definitely keen to play more of this. I'm interested to see how the Metroidvania aspects of it unfold, but it does feel like it needs a little bit of patching up still, so we'll have to see on that. But in any case, thank you for sending me a code. I genuinely, this game just looks beautiful, and I am really looking forward to seeing more of it, but hopefully a patch clears things up a little bit. And until then, tap A and hope for the best. If you enjoyed my show, it would mean a lot if you would rate and review it on iTunes, share it on social media, or check out my Patreon. You can find all of my stuff at troidalpower.carrd.co.
This has been a presentation of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work
for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.